It's a Pirates Week brief for Wednesday, November 11th, 2009.
Only FDC will not catch me, for I am quite elusive. Don't care what they say, I'm still a DJ, and I've got my life.
I am Ragnar Dansjold, and you have once again found the Pirates Week, a show dedicated to pirate radio, concentrating on the shortwave spectrum, but we do cover all aspects of free media and pirate radio. We have two big topics to cover this week in the world of pirate radio, most notably the fact that the FCC took Pirate Cat Radio off the air. We don't have a lot of time, so no time to go through the forum postings and loggings this time, but we will briefly note a couple things on the FRN. I have a few off-air recordings from the Halloween weekend, and we'll wrap it up with a closing thoughts for me, so stay tuned. It's a Pirates Week.
Almost live from the Fuking Ionosphere, it's the Pirates Week with Ragnar Dansjold.
Hi, remember me? Yeah, well, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you may have kept up with why I haven't done a show lately. I've been away due to work the last few weeks, and actually will be away for a few more weeks over a long overdue vacation. But before I leave, I wanted to share some important news and information. But before we get into the news, I do want to apologize for not producing a show for the last couple weeks. Frankly, this is the main reason I still refer to the Pirates Week as a podcast and not a full radio show. I feel a little less guilty taking some time off when I need to. That is something that you just can't do with a full-fledged radio program. But I do apologize to those stations who program the show into their weekly lineup. And actually, I'm going to take a couple more weeks off. So, there you go. Well, with the mea culpas out of the way, let's get into the good stuff.
Pirates in the News.
Well, I have two big news stories for you this week, both with lengthy audio clips. The first is the closure of the pirate radio institution of Pirate Cat Radio. This news comes from Pirate Cat's website. They go on to state that after over 13 years of almost continual broadcasting, Pirate Cat Radio on 87.9 FM will no longer be heard over the FM airwaves of San Francisco and the Bay Area. In a notice dated August 31st, 2009, the FCC asserted that Monkey, the founder of Pirate Cat Radio, willfully and repeatedly violated Section 301 of the Communications Act of 1934 and proposed to fine him $10,000 for the infraction. By bringing to bear the full weight of the federal government against continued broadcast operations, the FCC order effectively ends Pirate Cat Radio's 13-year run as one of the Bay Area's most consistent voices of protest against corporate-run media monopolies and monocultural programming. Looking to the future, Pirate Cat Radio can continue as an internet-only station, and the Cafe Studio on 21st Street will continue to operate, but at least for the time being, it cannot safely broadcast over terrestrial FM bands without possibly jeopardizing its volunteers and supporters. How this will affect the service is not yet clear, although it is true that the majority of their listeners are now online or downloading podcasts. As for Monkey, it has become clear that the FCC will only be satisfied when he has separated himself completely with his lifetime's work. He plans to sell the studio space and equipment and the cafe to try to recoup at least a small portion of the money he has invested into the program service over the years. He hopes the staff will be able to buy him out and to continue the fight against corporate domination of the airwaves. Quote, "Obviously, this is a major disappointment," says Monkey, "but we have made a collective decision that Pirate Cat Radio must come off the public airwaves until some method is found to change the law or get it authorized under existing law." That's from the Pirate Cat Radio's website. And that's kind of sad that Pirate Cat Radio has now been removed from the airwaves. Paul Rismondel, the media geek, had John Anderson on from DIY Media and talked about this development some. Take a listen to Paul, the media geek.
Well, one of the other things I want to talk about is the pirate radio scene. It's something which you have been covering since the 1990s.
Yeah.
Probably the person who's been covering it the longest and the most consistently anywhere in terms of the U.S. micro-broadcast scene, and logging statistics at your website, DIYmedia.net, as well as news and stories that come up. And there was a recent, we might call it high-profile, it wasn't a bust, it was a letter.
Mm-hmm.
To Pirate Cat Radio. And I didn't even hear about it until you just told me about it right before the show here. Pirate Cat Radio, which is a very above ground, I don't know what else we want to say. I mean, popular, I guess.
High profile
station operating out of the Mission District in San Francisco.
The only pirate radio station to ever be featured on the Food Network.
That's right, because they have their own cafe where apparently they make bacon lattes. But so I guess you just told me they just received a letter from the FCC, who apparently are onto them as being an unlicensed broadcaster.
Yeah, August 31st. What's his name? Daniel K. Roberts, I think is the man, Monkey Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Daniel K. Roberts, a.k.a. Monkey Man, a.k.a. Monkey, got a letter in the mail saying that unless he can convince the FCC otherwise, he's going to be fined $10,000. It's called a notice of apparent liability. It's basically the interim step between being warned and being fined. The FCC will eventually follow up with an official forfeiture letter, at which point Monkey will owe $10,000. But at this point, he's just hovering under the sword of Damocles. What the FCC basically says is, we know you've been around for a long time. I think I have instances of database contact, you know, in my database contact with the FCC back to like 2006.
Hmm.
And now it's time to stop messing around. We monitored your signal twice in April, and we know who you are, and so you need to stop. And so if you, you know, unless you can tell us otherwise or convince us why we shouldn't, you are going to owe us $10,000 after we send you another letter. And Monkey immediately went up on, well, I guess not immediately, but just within the past couple of weeks, actually, went up on this website and said, uh-oh, we've been fined $10,000. We're shutting down. We're only running a internet radio stream at this point, and please help us raise money to pay the impending fine. He's not the only person who's been dined this year. I just found a couple other people, one in Florida, the other one I can't remember where, that both got $10,000 NALs. Nobody's actually, well, one person has been formally fined this year for $10,000. Three other people have been given warnings like Monkey. And then there's been your regular spate of visits and follow-up letters.
Mm-hmm.
Those have been happening with some pretty serious frequency, especially in October. I haven't mm-hmm. got all the way through those statistics yet. But yeah, so Monkey, it was interesting because Pirate Cat Radio was operating under a very explicit legal defense
mm-hmm.
as its rationale for being on the air. There's a statute in the Code of Federal Regulations which says that in times of war or national emergency, you don't need to apply for a license from the FCC to put a radio station on the air. Monkey and his station really don't have any legal legs to stand on.
Yeah, that's something we've discussed before on the show. Yep. We've discussed on our websites. I've discussed it on my other website, radiosurvivor.com. Matthew Lassar, my fellow radio watcher there, joins you and me in being critical of trying to hide underneath this fairly thin veneer for what is otherwise essentially civil disobedience.
Right. Right. And it was a good run. I mean, you know, and I hope that in, you know, Boulder Free Radio is another, could be an example for Pirate Cat Radio. The primary motivator behind Boulder Free Radio was eventually found out, and instead of, you know, taking the fight all the way, bowed out gracefully,
right,
and passed the equipment on to new people who have subsequently taken the name and put the station back on the air.
Well, I mean,
maybe the same thing will happen with Pirate Cat.
The entire conversation between Paul and John went over 10 minutes and touched on many stations and aspects of civil disobedience radio, and well worth your time in seeking out. Links in the show notes to the program, definitely one you want to catch. There was some interesting observations on Radio Survivor concerning the Pirate Cat bust. Paul blogged that the FCC observed in a footnote to its NAL that, quote, "The frequency used without authority by Roberts and Pirate Cat Radio is 87.9 megahertz, which is not allocated to the FM broadcast band," unquote. This begs the question that if using the frequency of 87.9 might be any sort of contributing factor to the FCC's attention, especially in the light of an unlicensed operator in Florida recently receiving a $2,500 fine for broadcasting on the same frequency. According to the Code of Federal Regulations, Title 47, Section 73.501, 87.9 MHz Channel 200 is available only for use of existing Class D stations required to change frequency. These Class D stations are low-power 10-watt stations licensed prior to 1978 when the service ceased to exist. That's the rule under which the low-power high school station KSFH is licensed to 87.9. And as far as the commission is concerned, any given unlicensed operator is no different than any other. Each field office tends to have its own set of priorities about chasing down pirates, and looking at the list of enforcement actions, you can definitely see that each office seems to have periodic bursts of action against unlicensed operators. By and large, enforcement actions are complaint-based, and operating out in the open is more likely to result in a complaint than being clandestine. Paul concludes his blog post on Radio Survivor by noting he thinks operating an unlicensed station on 87.9 FM is no more risky than operating on any other frequency. The fact that there are very few stations licensed to this frequency makes it an attractive place for the pirates, looking for a clear channel and avoid interfering with any other stations. The FCC's recent decision that FM stations no longer need to protect Channel 6 audio on the far left end of the dial may lead to erosion of this opportunity in some areas as more licensed stations encroach on 87.9 FM. Until then, the risk of being a pirate on 87.9 FM is due to being a pirate broadcaster and nothing more. That really sucks that the Pirate Cat Radio is off air. I always hoped I could make a pilgrimage there someday, plopping myself down in front of the cafe, ordering a bacon latte, and striking up a conversation with Monkey about his station. I guess that's a dream now gone. That's kind of sad. Well, there is another topic I really need to talk about. Steve and Janice noted the other big news in last week's International Radio Report on CKUT. Those of you who do not follow the FRN or WBCQ should have learned by now that WBCQ will be going off air on Saturdays with their 7415 transmitter. This is from the International Radio Report.
Okay, so other news. WBCQ has got some really interesting program changes. They change the programming like all the time. But what's going to be interesting is that they're going to be mostly going to black on Saturdays.
They're going dark. Why?
They're going dark on Saturdays.
Cost-cutting measures, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Programming cost-cutting measures impacts the airtimes of many programs on the weekend blocks on WBCQ on 7415. Marion's Attic is moving to Sunday. WGOD is moving to Sunday 6 p.m. Timtron is going to be moving from Saturday 8 p.m. to Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern. Radio Short Bus moves to Sundays. Last Roundup moves to Fridays. and the schedule changes will result in WBCQ being dark on Saturdays, with the exception of the Overcomer Ministry, which remains at 9 to 11 p.m. The comprehensive schedule of WBCQ can be found at schedule.wbcq.com. Area 51 program and schedules is found at worldmicroscope.com. Well, the Area 51 is like the cool stuff, the pirate stuff, the funky stuff, and I think they rebroadcast International Radio Report from time to time there. And all this put up by Larry Will in Mount Airy, Maryland. We were talking about that, too, before in the hallway, that 7415 used to be a pirate frequency. That's why Alan chose to, you know, put up his broadcast station on 7415. So now that they're going dark on Saturdays, what's going to happen during the time they're dark?
I think we are going to hear pirates on 7415. I know it.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to go back 7415, and it's a good frequency. I mean, how's the propagation?
Well, this time of year, this point in the solar cycle, it would probably be decent reception throughout the day.
Yeah.
Especially like maybe a couple hours before sunset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say this time of year, like or after like 2 o'clock, 2 to 5 in the evenings, and maybe between like 7 and 9 in the morning would probably be decent, but especially 2 to 5.
And we know that people like Mr. Smilkstein have the 7415 preset on their Sony 2010s.
Yeah, so and you have a real captive audience for WBZO and programs such as that. Ooh.
So let's see if the pirates go back to 7415, the old retro pirate frequency. Now, that was the frequency, what, back in the 90s?
Yeah, early 90s.
Early 90s.
That was.
And then when BCQ got on the air, that's when they switched down to like 6925, or it was before that?
No, it was before that, because there was... it was WEWN on 7425.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big splatter box, and it was just killing anything on 7415. And that's when 6955 came into,
6955.
Into fashion around like 94, 93, 94. It started moving down there. And then there was utilities and stuff. And then there was this one, I know this one pirate operator who had a 6925 crystal, and he started doing the 6925, and then everybody followed him there.
Well, there you go. So. if one were to know such things.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so check out the WBCQ's programming changes.
And lastly, we have word now of a pirate radio bust in Ohio. Once again from John and Paul on the Media Geek radio show, the FCC have taken off air a bunch of dangerous pirates from the airwaves. I myself feel a lot better knowing the FCC are out there protecting us from these unscrupulous radio pirates. Take a listen to this from the Media Geek.
In Ohio, the FCC busted the Menorah Park Center for the Aging in Beechwood.
Where's Beechwood?
Beechwood, Ohio. I don't know. Pull it up on Google Maps. On August 4th, 2009, agents from the Farmington Hills, Michigan office confirmed by direction-finding techniques that radio signals on frequency 90.7 megahertz were emanating from the nursing home. The commission's records show that no license was issued for operation of a broadcast station there. You should cease immediately.
Was there a lot of Lawrence Welk coming out?
They don't mention the programming. They don't say who complained. I'm thinking, what a wonderful way to keep seniors active. You know, they learn dexterity by building kits. They keep their minds active by being on the air and programming. I mean, what a great little club to have in your nursing home. Mm-hmm. You know, you're spending your twilight years. You're stuck in this place, and you have this little radio station.
But you have no more information as to whether they were intending to broadcast or anything.
Well, no, it just says they were broadcasting a radio station out of this thing.
Do you think maybe they were...
And that it was above Part 15 levels by a significant amount.
Do you think maybe they were trying to, you know, because have like a transmitter like you do in gyms, you know, where they'll have...
Oh, no, this is way more powerful than that. their signal was measured at 325,591 microvolts per meter.
That's a heck of a lot more than Part 15. That is true.
Yeah, but it's at a pretty far, a long distance, but it still exceeds the... It still exceeds the 250 at 3 rule. It's so I think they were just doing senior citizens radio. And maybe it was Lawrence Welk, maybe it was talk shows. Maybe it was gripes of the day, the lunch menu, who's winning at backgammon. I would think that would be awesome. I would think that people would think that would be a good use.
Yeah.
And I could, I mean, who could be more benign pirates than old people living in a nursing home? Come on now.
And before we get out of the news segment, we got one last one from the blogosphere, one for our Euro listeners. The Wireless Waffle a few weeks back posted an article on the chances of being busted on shortwave and who is generating the complaints that forces these pirates off the shortwave airwaves. Noting that over the past 12 months, both Premier Radio, who used 6265, and Laser Hot Hits, who used 4025 kHz, had their transmitter sites raided. Across Europe and indeed the world, there are a series of shortwave HF monitoring stations operated by the various national regulatory administrations who produce quarterly reports on their monitoring activities. The purpose of the monitoring and the associated reports is, on one hand, to check the legitimate use of the HF spectrum, and on the other hand, to identify which is in contravention to the ITU's rules on spectrum usage. Where an administration identifies contravening transmissions, it can flag these in the report, and according to the ITU document describing the reports, these will be then forwarded to the administration, which is the source of the transmission. Wireless Waffle then goes on to list pirate stations that have been logged in these reports. Stations including prominent pirate powerhouses such as Laser Hot Hits, Playback International, and Mystery Radio. Links to that blog post will be in the show notes.
Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law. Breaking the law, breaking the law, oh, oh, breaking the law.
The FRN Forum postings.
Well, I don't have time to go through the FRN postings or note stations logged for the Free Radio Weekly this week, but I did want to draw attention to the fact that there was a post on the LPFM section of the forums a few weeks back. Someone posted on the LPFM section, first time in, months. But anyways, Chris the Radio Animal posted some links to 87.9 The Wave in Massachusetts, including some photos of the student. Actually, I think I'm going to include that photo on the posting for the show notes at piratesweek.info. Yeah, that's real cool. The 87.9 The Wave broadcasting in the Boston area. Very cool. And finally, a listener wrote me a few days ago that he has been listening to The Gulch this last weekend and has been hearing what sounds like a CW pirate that's doing Morse on 6925, apparently a disgruntled FRN reader. He's been sending out FRN sucks ass in Morse. He goes on to note that there has been a flame war of sorts on the ACE logging section over there at the FRN over SSTV on 6925 and the intentional or maybe unintentional interference with other pirates. He believes that this CW pirate on 6925 may be related to that little tiff going on in the FRN, and you might want to keep an ear out for the heckler out there on throwing out CW on 6925.
You know the weird guy in the corner of the office who always has his headphones on? That's you!
Well, what would be the Pirates Week without a few off-air recordings for you? I found several off-air recordings on the drop over the Halloween holiday from Lex. Lex, of course, listening on his Palstar R30C down in Texas. Gonna throw two at you very quickly here. First up, Wolverine Radio, the 1st of November, 050 to 0130 UTC, 6930 Upper Sideband. Wolverine Radio playing Boneyard Lullabies by Nick Noxious and the Necrophiliacs, classic rock and roll style songs with creepy and often hilarious lyrics. Take a listen to Wolverine Radio.
His sweet bride Bab, he hugged her and kissed her and fondled her twice. He didn't even notice she was cold as ice. He laid her wet body all out on the deck. He gazed upon her. He thought, what the heck?
Wolverine Radio.
Lex also dropped off Radio Gaga, the 31st of October, 1300 to 1335 UTC, 6925 Upper Sideband. Spooky sound effects, SSTV of a pumpkin, a little different version of the familiar Monster Mash, followed by several SSTV images. Take a listen to Radio Gaga.
The Pirates Week Podcast, your home for shortwave pirate information. PiratesWeek.info. That's PiratesWeek.info.
Does anyone around here still have a radio? Anyone here at all? Anyone here at all?
that's going to wrap it up for this week. I will be back after Thanksgiving. Hey, I do want to mention one thing, really not pirate radio related, but maybe of interest to you AMDXers out there. I got this off of DX Tests website, a DX test going on from WGGH 1150 AM Marion, Illinois. They will be doing a full daytime power overnight. That's right, on 1150 Saturday morning, February 6th, 2010. So you got a couple months to get ready for this. 0600 to 0800 UTC. They're going to be operating with 5,000 watts overnight. It's a classic country and oldies music with a tons of various sound effects going on. Their Monster Radio AM 1150 is their ID. See if you can catch them February 6th. Hopefully I can remember and bring this to your attention again back in February. But a DX test scheduled for February 6th from WGGH 1150 out of Illinois. Well, that's it for now. I apologize to the stations who regularly rebroadcast the show and to you loyal listeners out there. I'll be back after Thanksgiving with the regularly weekly programs of the Pirates Week, and we'll take that throughout the winter. Hopefully, I know it's still a little early to start talking about this, but I'm really hoping this time. I know I've said it for the last couple years in a row, but I will be going to Winterfest this year. I already took the vacation time and saving up the money, so hopefully we will. That will be one weekend I will be taking off. It will be Winterfest, and we'll hopefully see everybody out there at Culpsville this year. So until after Thanksgiving, hey, I'm going to be sitting somewhere in northern Michigan. Actually, I'm going to be in Covington, Michigan, which is just west of the middle of nowhere. So I'll be sitting up there in a deer blind, freezing my butt off for the next 2 weeks. So I'll be back after Thanksgiving. As always, hey, thanks for listening.
From the Boat Anchor's soft glow to your MP3 player via the World Wide Web, we meld the oldest and the newest audio technology. Welcome to the Pirates Week.
That's piratesweek.info.
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.